This program is brought to you by the Vegetarian Society of Hawaii, a nonprofit organization dedicated to sharing with the community the many benefits of a vegetarian diet. Free monthly meetings include vegetarian experts found locally and on the mainland, quick and easy cooking demonstrations, and healthful and delicious food samples. Members enjoy an informative quarterly newsletter, social activities, and discounts at many vegetarian-friendly restaurants and health food stores. For an application, call 944-8344. That's 944-8344. Or visit our website at www.vsh.org. vsh.org.
Welcome, everybody, to the monthly lecture sponsored by the Vegetarian Society of Hawaii. May I have your attention, please? You folks over there that are having a good conversation. Let's listen to my lesser presentation instead. The organization and mission of the Vegetarian Society of Hawaii is to promote human health, animal rights, and protection of the environment by means of vegetarian education. It is a not-for-profit volunteer organization founded in 1990. It is amongst the largest vegetarian societies in the country, in North America, with more than 2,000 members, 2,064 at last tally. We may be the largest one in North America. How many of you are not members of this society? You're welcome, but how many of you are not members? Okay, well, we'd like to encourage you to join. Members receive an informative newsletter. It's about 20 pages long, comes out quarterly, as well as discounts at vegetarian-friendly restaurants and health food stores all over town, including Down to Earth and Huckleberry Farms. Some of our discounts are announced in the Vegetarian Dining Guide, which has recently been updated and is available at the literature table. This benefit alone, these discounts, can more than cover your membership fee. By becoming a member, you'll be supporting events like tonight's and helping to promote a more healthful and compassionate diet and lifestyle throughout our islands. That's something you get by being a member. Tonight's lecture, as usual, is being videotaped for broadcast on the VSH weekly TV series Vegetarian. On Oahu, the program airs on Thursdays at 6 p.m. on Olelo Channel 52. It also airs on other islands. We suggest that you tape each show, keep the ones you like and to want to show to others, and tape over the ones that you're finished with. And now it's time for our special guest. We're delighted to have with us tonight Dr. Ruth Heydrich, a raw foodist for more than 7 years. She holds a doctorate in health management and is a certified fitness trainer. She is an 8-time Senior Olympics gold medalist, a 6-time Ironman triathlon finisher. That's the real Ironman, not something cut in half or in smaller parts. And she's the holder of 3 age group world records for fitness at the renowned Cooper Clinic in Dallas. She competes in track, road races, and triathlons, and has won more than 900 trophies and medals since her diagnosis of breast cancer in 1982. She is the author of A Race for Life, The Chef, C-H-E-F, Cook Raw Book, several videos, and her most recent book is entitled Senior Fitness. She is, together with Dr. Bill over here, a founding member of the board of the Vegetarian Society of Hawaii and a past president of this society. Tonight's presentation is entitled In the Raw, Practical Advice on the Raw Food Diet. Please welcome Dr. Heydrich.
Thank you, everybody, for coming. I know there are a lot of other places you could be tonight. I am delighted to find you here. I hope to make it worth your while. I'm going to be covering some pretty basic aspects of the raw food diet because it really is basic. You've heard a little bit about me. Now I want to find out a little bit about you. How many of you are raw foodists already? Anybody? Wow, fantastic. How many of you are cooked food vegans? We call them oily vegans or burnt food vegans or all right, okay. How many of you are lacto-ovo vegetarians? Any? How many of you are SAD eaters? You know what SAD stands for? Standard American Diet? You got a few of those. Okay. How many of you wouldn't raise your hand no matter what I said? How many of you thought that when you saw the title in the raw that it was going to be an X-rated presentation and are here for that? Ah, all right. Right, extraordinary, extra special. Okay, let's get started. Well, let me tell you just a little bit more about why I'm here, why I get to give this talk. You heard a little bit about the fact that I was diagnosed with breast cancer. That was 24 years ago, long time ago, and it was fairly advanced. It had spread to one lung and my bones, and the prognosis was not good. I also had been a runner at that point. Actually, I'd been a runner for 14 years. I started running when I read a book by Dr. Kenneth Cooper called Aerobics. How many of you know that book, Aerobics? A few. It's been a while, 1968, so kind of dating myself. And that also, I want to tell you that I was 33 years old when I started running, and I've been running for 38 years now. Let's see, let's do the math. 33 and 38, that makes me how old? 71, and still going strong. Thank you. In fact, this shirt is one of the 6 Ironman triathlons. You don't get to wear it unless you finish, and that's why it says finisher on it. And today is the date of one of the Ironman runnings, and I've been with these people in heart and soul, and in fact did my own triathlon this morning. I did an hour on the bike, and then I swam up and down right here. This is my training backyard, and a 4-mile run, a little short triathlon. But I'm doing it. It's fun. It's the way to make exercise fun. That's the only reason I do it, because I have so much fun. I'm laughing and feeling good, really feeling extra good at the end of it. There's a quote from one of the speakers of the NSA, which I'm a member, and his name is Charlie Tremendous Jones. And what he said really struck me as being so true. He says that we are today what we will be in 5 years, except for the people we meet and the books we read. People we meet, books we read. And I'm thinking, you know, the book I read in 1968, Aerobics, is what started me on this fitness track. And the people I meet right after the cancer diagnosis, I had the great good fortune to see a little notice. This was less than a week after the surgery. 2 lines said, wanted women with breast cancer to participate in diet research study. Call Dr. John McDougall. I did that. He said, get your medical records and come see me. I'm sitting in his office and he's telling me, no chemo, no radiation, change your diet. And that you're going to go vegan, low-fat vegan, so that means no oils. Those are the conditions of being a participant in this clinical research study. Now, I already thought I had a good diet. You know, being a runner. In fact, I'd run a bunch of marathons. I thought that I knew it all about nutrition. I had my first nutrition, college nutrition course in 1952. So I knew we needed lots of protein and that egg whites are good, the perfect protein, etc. Dairy is essential. But he told me these are the very things that caused my breast cancer and that if I wanted to save my life, to change my diet. You know how long it took me to decide to change my diet? Like that. I went home, threw out all the animal products, and, you know, people frequently ask me, well, how long did it take to see any results? And I love to say, the next morning. I had been constipated all my life as well. In fact, I'd had a number of doctors tell me that 3 or 4 times a week is normal for some people. I now know that that is not normal at all. My arthritis disappeared. There were just so many benefits besides the breast cancer that it's something that I've been doing now, as I say, 24 years. And then 7 years ago, I thought, gee, I wonder what no cooking would be like. So I switched. Okay, on with the show. This delicious-looking dish is all raw fruits. These are guavas and pears, plums, grapes. This photo I took at John McDougall's Costa Rica adventure. In fact, the food was so delicious. It wasn't all raw, but it was easy to stay raw. And with treats like this, it's not a problem. In fact, we have color vision primarily, so we can pick out the foods that are ripe and that are good, are best for us. Okay, the definition of a raw food diet. At least 75. It doesn't have to be 100% that you're not allowed to do anything cooked. It's not that way at all. And not heated to over, that's supposed to be 117. We did this right after the earthquake. And there are probably a few other little hurried mistakes. 117 degrees, so you don't cook anything. Doesn't exclude dried foods, but usually grains and beans unless you're soaking them first. Now, a lot of people might think that that's a pretty radical diet. Any of the sad eaters think that this is extreme radical? Do I see a few uh-huhs? You know why I know it's not radical? This is the first diet. Because back in the prehistoric days, caveman days, do you know there was no place to plug in a microwave? So, had to be raw, right? No place for a stove. So, we all had raw fruits and vegetables. Now, the possible foods include vegetables, fruits, nuts, seeds, legumes. Seaweeds are really important. I think they're one of the better foods. They're sea greens, loaded with vitamins and minerals. Sun-dried fruits, organic natural foods which have not been processed. Freshly made juices also qualify, although I don't juice anything. I think these bones and muscles are made to be exercised as well as the rest of our body. So, okay, people think that some foods have to be cooked, right? And here's a few examples. Broccoli, kale. I love kale raw. I don't like it cooked, even before. It is delicious, especially the younger leaves are so tender, they're delicious. Eggplant, you can do raw. Cauliflower is best raw. You know how many different cabbages there are? The Chinese cabbages, pak choi, wan bok. I mean, the list just goes. Go to Chinatown and see how many different cabbages there are. And they are one of the healthiest foods you can eat. Mushrooms can be eaten raw. And I thought of one after we put together the slide. One of my all-time favorite foods, corn on the cob, raw. Has anybody else done this? Yeah, okay. Why do they spoil it? By cooking it and then putting butter on it. It tastes so good all by itself. Here are just a few of the advantages that I've found to a raw food diet. You know what number one is? I now hate to cook. I want my food immediate. If I can go out and pick something off a tree, that's best. So there's no cooking and no time wasted in waiting for something to cook. You know, you plug in a rice cooker or some kind of other cooker and wait and wait and wait. This way, there's no waiting. Shopping is so simple. You just go to the produce section and see the colors that I mentioned that appeal to us, whether they're blues, purples, pinks, oranges, red apples, red watermelon, red bell peppers, green bell peppers. All these foods are meant to appeal to us. So I go shopping and I just pick up whatever's in season, and that's my menu. Preparation is just cut and wash, cut and serve. Produce is the highest in nutritional values. If you want the biggest bang for your nutritional buck, then produce is the way to go. You will also see a lowering of your electricity bill because you don't have to turn on the stove. You don't have to turn on the air conditioner because the stove heated up the kitchen. It's easy to clean up, and this is a big one, I think. The greatest variety in foods. The plant kingdom is just, it's so full of hybrids. There are approximately 90 different vegetables that are commonly eaten and 60 different fruits. So you could have a different fruit every day of the month, and different vegetable, and without repeating. Although I have to say, things like kale, I never get tired of. Kale and broccoli, I eat every single day. And obviously, menu planning is simple. You don't have to think, what should we have for dinner tonight? Because it is so simple. And because you're not cooking the foods, you know what happens? Green peas, fresh, and you cook them, what color do they turn? Yuck. So this way, all the foods have their brilliant natural colors. The health benefits. Now, I think people realize different benefits, but I think in general, what people see is they have more energy. Now, to do something like an Ironman triathlon, or I've done a few ultra marathons. For example, I just spoke on Maui and was recalling how I'd done the run to the sun. You know, that's 37 miles from Kahului to the top of Mount of Haleakala. We're driving it, and I'm thinking, I can't believe I did this. Especially on a vegan diet, lots of energy, and it works really well. Weight loss, most people realize some weight loss, and it's not the pounds on the scale that matter, it's the fat that you get rid of. In fact, you may not lose any weight at all if you're exercising, if you're lifting weights, if you're running, biking, swimming, because you're building muscle, which weighs more than fat, and it's the fat that you want to get rid of. A lot of people report clearer skin. If you know of a teenager who has acne, clean up their diet, the acne will probably disappear. Digestion, you probably will have no need for the purple pill. Reduced risk of many diseases, primarily heart disease, because you're not consuming cholesterol and saturated fat, which clogs the arteries to the heart, to the all the other organs, all the way down to the toes, and everything in between. Your risk of cancer goes down. Stroke, of course, is a circulatory disease closely related to heart disease. Type 2 diabetes, even type 1, because that's been associated with dairy products in little children. But type 2 diabetes is from a high-fat diet, high animal food, processed food diet, and not enough exercise. Type 2 diabetes is a disease we cause ourselves. In fact, all of these diseases we cause ourselves. Osteoporosis. When I was diagnosed at the age of 47, and by the time I was 49, I was doing Ironman triathlons all through my 50s and 60s and taking bone density tests because of having given up dairy. I was afraid that I might be losing bone density because I couldn't take estrogen. And Fosamax was not big at the time, hadn't really come out. And so I was having bone density tests, and my bone density was going up and up and up, and it already started high. So I've got the reverse of osteoporosis. This is how you build strong bones. A low-protein diet, lots of fruits and vegetables, leafy greens for all the calcium and all the other minerals that your body, your bones need. and exercise. Running, that impact of running is not bad for you, contrary to what you may have been told. It is actually good for you. It's the piezoelectric effect causes a little shock to the bones, to the bone-building cells, and they stimulate them and you get stronger bones. Isn't that amazing? That's great for you. I already mentioned my arthritis disappeared. I was able to get off the arthritis medication, Naprosyn or Aleve. I'm sure you all have heard of that. I was taking that in the 70s. It's gone now. Are there any disadvantages to a raw food diet? Well, yeah. You get to eat a lot more because the digestive process is so fast, it gets into the bloodstream, and if you're active, which you should be, you are burning up the fuel and you get to eat more. And I've never heard a person say, "Oh, I don't want to eat more." I think most of us like eating more, right? You are endlessly asked, "But where do you get your protein?" How many of you know this one? I mean, everybody says, "Where do you get your protein?" I've had MDs ask me that. If you're on a raw food vegan diet, where do you get your protein? And I'm thinking, never mind what I'm thinking. Anyway, the protein is the right amount in fruits and vegetables, averaging about 10%. I really believe, along with Dr. McDougall and Doug Graham and a few others, that 80-10-10 is perfect. 80% carbs, 10% protein, 10% fat. And I've been doing this, as I say now, for about 24 years. Another disadvantage possibly is you're swimming upstream this way. You're unique. There are not too many others like us, but I view this as an opportunity to educate people. I love it when they ask me questions like, where do you get your protein? They also want to know, where do you get your calcium if you're not consuming any dairy? And I say the calcium is better utilized in the leafy greens, and you could take all the calcium pills in the world and it wouldn't do your bones any good if you weren't using them, because bone is just like muscle. This is a bicep. It will only get bigger if it needs to, if I'm putting greater stress on it, greater demand. Well, it's attached at one end to the other to bone, and the bone responds exactly the same way. It gets stronger in response to greater usage. Conditions that the raw diet helps, well, this is just a fair representation. I don't think there is any condition that it doesn't help. We've got a good example in Bob Leach over there by the bookstore. He was told that he had to go on Coumadin and stay on Coumadin for the rest of his life because he formed blood clots. Well, the reason he was forming blood clots was because he was eating the SAD diet and not getting enough exercise. But the doctors didn't know that, so they said, "You must go on Coumadin for the rest of your life." And he didn't want to do that. And there's a section in Senior Fitness, his story, because he changed his diet, amazed the doctors who said it couldn't be done, and was told he didn't even need to take aspirin. His blood work was so good. He lost 62 pounds. He didn't have to use a puffer anymore for his asthma and bronchitis and all the other lung afflictions. He had a lot of allergies. All those things disappeared as a side effect of the raw food, of the diet, vegan diet. We already mentioned acne, varicose veins. That's a good one. Frequently a cosmetic issue, but if you're eating this diet and getting lots of exercise, you will not create varicosities in your legs. And another place where varicosities frequently occur, hemorrhoids. You lower your risk of hemorrhoids by eating this diet. Tinnitus is another, ringing in the ears. There have been several studies that showed that this diet will help that condition. Hypertension, high blood pressure. If you go out and exercise for 20 minutes, your blood pressure will drop afterwards and it will stay dropped for about 24 hours. That's the good news. You want to know the bad news? You got to do it again tomorrow and the next day and the next day, which is one of the reasons why I do my daily exercise. I eat every day, I sleep every night, I exercise every day. In fact, I feel kind of sorry for all of you sitting there not getting any exercise. Why don't you tighten your abs? You know, you can sit there, tighten your abs. Tighten your glutes. Tighten them really tight. Do your Kegels. yeah. Tighten your quads. And keep moving. You know, just because you're sitting doesn't mean you have to be totally inert. Keep the blood moving, because that exercise is your reverse heart. You know, the heart pumps the blood out, but you need the muscles to move it back up. PMS, all the women, the female problems, whether it's premenopausal or postmenopausal, all of these symptoms are really a reflection of a poor lifestyle. And if you eat this diet and get lots of exercise, those symptoms usually disappear. So you wouldn't need hormone replacement therapy. Arthritis, we talked about. Rheumatoid arthritis, the type I had was osteoarthritis, but rheumatoid arthritis has been shown in a study that actually John McDougall and John Westerdahl did, where they put a number of patients who had rheumatoid arthritis on a vegan, low-fat diet, and their symptoms disappeared. So we know if you've got arthritis that this will help that. It will lower your cholesterol. My own experience verifies that. At the time I went to see Dr. McDougall, he looked at my blood work and he said, you know, with a cholesterol of 236, you are at as great a risk of dying of a heart attack as you are the breast cancer. You can imagine my shock, you know, being a marathoner and then finding out you have cancer and to be told not only that, but heart disease. And he said, don't worry, this diet's going to take care of that. Come back in 21 days and let's repeat the blood work. My cholesterol came back at 160. 236 down to 160 in 21 days. And he looked at the result and he says, I can tell you didn't cheat. That is great. And I said, cheat? Why would I cheat? He said, you'd be amazed how many people cannot do this. And it's unfortunate because, as I want to really emphasize, we cause all our diseases. We cause high blood pressure, we cause heart disease, cancer. It's almost, you name it, prostate cancer. Do you know men get breast cancer as well? About 1 in 100 cases of men getting breast cancer. All these diseases we are causing ourselves. I mentioned GERD before, no more purple pills or any of the acid reversing. We need the stomach acid. It's there for a purpose. You don't want to neutralize it. And constipation, of course. This next is a quote from Paul Neeson, who has written, I think, 3, maybe 4 or 5 books on raw foodism. He's been a raw fooder in New York City for a good number of years. And he said, if you're sick, it may heal you. If you're well, this may keep you well. And if you want to look your best, try raw. Okay, the protein issue that we mentioned. The 10% calories from protein, and it's a complete protein. You do not have to worry about mixing and matching. You've heard of complementary proteins, right? You got to have the rice and the beans or the corn and the carrots or whatever. You don't have to worry about that. And I can show you, I hope this comes up. Yeah, there it is. And I have the chart in person right there if you really want to look up any of these foods. What it does is across the top are all of the essential amino acids, the ones that our body can't make and that we have to consume in food. And then what the minimum daily requirement, or actually the RDA, recommended daily, for each one of those, and how if you ate nothing but any one of those foods, you would more than exceed the minimum for all of these essential amino acids. So you could survive on kale, for example, and not even come close to a protein deficiency. So if you want to take a look at that chart and check out some of your own foods, you're welcome to do so afterwards. 2,000 calories worth, if that's all you were going to eat. How much? And the 2,000 calories is an average number of calories that you would need to consume. But of course, nobody, it's kind of a specious argument, because nobody is going to consume 100% kale or 100% of any one of these. But you see, the point is, if you mix and match these things, there's no way you can be deficient in any one of the essential amino acids. The next question that I always get is, well, what do you eat if, you know, if you can't eat all these dead body parts? What I eat for breakfast, I start out with a large bowl, and I mean large, and I make a bed of organic leafy greens, mixed organic greens. That's the mainstay of all of my meals, because I have checked all the charts. When I was studying nutrition, I was looking at which foods are the very best, are the highest in everything, and the organic greens are definitely right up there. I throw in a carrot, and I know it's a bit strange for breakfast, you know, it's a radical diet, but it's not for me anymore. Carrot, because I want to maintain my eyesight. I don't want glaucoma, cataract, or macular degeneration, so I want lots of beta-carotene. Celery for the sodium that's in it. Watercress. There's a little farmer's market not too far from where we live, and I just load up on more leafy greens. Basil. Thai basil in particular. If you take a bunch of that and cut it up and mix it with all these other foods, it imparts a flavor that is, and a smell. Oh, just smells so good. Take a mango, cut it up. By the way, I don't peel mangoes. I eat the skin. I eat things that most people throw away. You know, kiwi, I eat that skin. Watermelon, I love watermelon seeds. And in fact, if somebody kind of close to me is picking out the seeds, I'll say, can I have them? Because I love watermelon seeds. The parsley that most people use as garnish is a wonderful leafy green. You could have just a serving of parsley. It is delicious. Blackstrap molasses, because back in 1982 when I was giving up dairy, I was a little concerned about getting enough calcium and iron, and I read the label of blackstrap molasses, and it showed how much of each of those, plus a whole bunch of other minerals that they extract from the sugar cane. You know, sugar, white sugar, is devoid. It's just empty, purely empty calories. All the goodies that were in this leafy green on steroids, you know, you picture sugar cane, you picture all those goodies taken out of there to produce sugar, and that's what blackstrap molasses is. So I've been doing that for a number of years. Fresh ginger. I tried that one time, and it was so good. And I get big chunks. I'll take a chunk about, say, 2 inches, inch and a half, and I don't grate it. I just kind of chop it maybe 5 or 6 times and throw that into the mix. And then I take some cinnamon, and I sprinkle probably about a tablespoon of cinnamon, because I love cinnamon as well. Then, as I mentioned, you get hungry after a while before your next meal. So what I generally have is a carrot or two, sometimes three, and an apple or whatever fruit. If, for example, bananas. I love bananas. And if I'm running through Chinatown, which I love to do, and I will see some bananas that are just on the verge of being overripe and they mark the prices down. You've seen them do that. I've gotten bunches of bananas for 10 cents a pound. Isn't that great? So it doesn't have to be an expensive diet at all. So supper is pretty much the same thing. Big bowl, and start out with lots of organic greens and add a tomato, red bell pepper or yellow or orange. Lots of broccoli. Mung sprouts, which I keep in my chapter in my Chef Raw Cookbook or Cook Raw Book. I'm not sure which it is. I have a chapter called Garden in the Kitchen, and that's what I call sprouting. I got back from Maui last night. You know, one of the first things I did was take a bunch of mung beans and put them in my jar, soak them overnight, and those sprouts, you could eat them today. They'll be better tomorrow. They'll be probably an inch long. And tender mung bean sprouts, delicious. More cabbage, more ginger, and for dressing, for supper, I will use salsa or tomato sauce. Dessert is always the same because I never can get too much of berries. I hope you like berries too, because blueberries, raspberries, strawberries, they're all Marionberries. We spend time in Canada, and we just finished blueberry season. And what we do is buy a flat. It's a box this big, by this big, this high, full of blueberries, fresh picked blueberries for $10. And you can just stuff yourself with blueberries. I never get tired of that. It's like, you know, these foods are the proper foods for us. We don't get tired of them, just like other animals don't get tired of the foods that are proper for them.
That's very green.
Very. And I add ginger to that. I think ginger adds something to any dish that you eat, every single dish. And just to make sure that I'm getting enough omega-3s, although I don't really worry about the omega-3 fatty essential fatty acids, because they are in leafy greens as well, I use a handful of walnuts. Now, you have to realize that this, for me, is a therapeutic diet because of the breast cancer. I don't think most people have to be so strict, but there isn't anything I would change if I could. You know, if I was told breast cancer is cured, no matter what you do, it'll never come back, you can eat anything you want, this is the way I would continue to eat, because I love it. This is just a range of different foods. The list can go on and on and on. As I say, with the fruits, there are 60 at least different fruits that you can eat, so maybe this will give you some ideas. The raisins, of course, represent the dried fruit. Dates are delicious. I eat orange seeds. You know, people spit out the seeds from oranges. I love them. I think they're delicious. I can't imagine taking a tomato and coring it and throwing away the center, or peeling a tomato. I think we need fiber. And I don't know of anybody that gets too much fiber. It's possible. But in my case, if I don't get 100% fiber, everything seems to slow down. But I had that tendency before. Anyway, as far as the veggies, just go to the produce section and get some ideas. Try some things that maybe you've never tried before. And I threw in this miscellaneous category. If you like flaxseed, I don't recommend getting the flaxseed oil. I recommend getting a little coffee grinder and the flaxseed itself, and put a tablespoon in that and grind it up. You have to grind it, because if you don't, they're hard to chew, and if you don't break them up, they pass through totally unaffected. You know, they don't do you a bit of good. Walnuts, as I mentioned, for the essential fatty acids. Salsa makes a good dressing. Red Star Nutritional Yeast with B12, that's probably the only weakness that I can see to that, and this is still a controversy with a lot of people. Where do you get your B12? We thought that only came with animal foods. Well, B12 comes from bacteria, not the animals themselves, and maybe we make enough in our intestinal tract and maybe we don't. So to cover that base, I have a blood test every once in a while and make sure that I'm getting adequate levels of B12. The blackstrap molasses, I mentioned ginger, and green tea is my beverage. Because a raw food diet is so high in water, I rarely drink. And that's probably blasphemy to say, what? You don't drink a lot of water? Well, you can tell that when you're getting enough water by how often you have to pee, and if you have to get up several times during the night, you're getting enough water. And so I know when you eat this way that I'm getting enough water. But I do have green tea in the morning before breakfast and before going out for my workout, my run, bike, and swim, my morning triathlon. Dining out can be a challenge, although you know, up until 2 weeks ago, I had Roxanne's restaurant. Has anybody here heard of Roxanne's in Marin County? Did you know they went out of business? That's so sad, because that restaurant was fantastic. They had just desserts to die for, lots of entrees to live for. Exactly, thank you. You could just live there and enjoy it, but they no longer are, but that's another story. It had nothing to do with the lack of popularity of the restaurant. I don't know of too many places here in Honolulu where you can get raw food, but if you go to any good salad bar, for example, Sizzler's has a great selection of all kinds of raw fruits and vegetables. So that's about the only place I really feel free. Oh, Perry's in Waikiki. It's an all-you-can-eat breakfast, $6.95, and you can... They've got the greens. Nobody touches these greens. You know, you walk in up to the salad bar, there's this big thing of spinach and a big thing of romaine, and nobody's eating it. They're all at the cooked food. So we get that to ourselves. And lots of fresh fruits. They have bananas and watermelon with seeds. One of the few places, you know, everybody's going seedless, unfortunately. Cantaloupe, papaya, pineapple. It really is a feast, and it's inexpensive as well. My cookbook, if you go to my website, ruthheidrich.com, I've got a whole bunch of articles in there. The first button that you see when you my home page is an Ask Dr. Ruth. And I tell you, that is more darn fun, because they confuse me with the other Dr. Ruth. You'd be amazed at some of the questions I have. I'm serious. I never knew people had such problems. But you know, my advice is always the same. Change your diet and get some exercise, and it'll solve your problems. In fact, there are a lot of other articles. I've had some fantastic experiences, all as a result of starting to run marathons, triathlons, and getting breast cancer. My life opened up when I turned 50. You know how most people think when you're 50, it's downhill from there? Well, in my case, life took off. I've got pictures of running the Great Wall of China, doing the Moscow Marathon, when I got a marriage proposal from the guy that ran me in the last mile, running at Stonehenge. You know, Stonehenge. No, I didn't know at the time, because it was Russian. It was only when later found out. Okay, and now the part two of the talk. This is one of my favorite slides, primarily because I've written about the Tarahumara. On my website, I've got an article about going to Copper Canyon in Mexico. How many of you have heard of the Tarahumara runners? All right. They are so isolated, or they used to be. It's starting to change as more tourists go there. But they run. And when I say run, I'm talking about 48-hour races. These are racing, running fiends. And they play this game, it's kind of like kickball, and they've got two teams, one on each side, and they will go until the last one drops, and that may be 48 hours. And women do the same thing, but their games don't last quite as long. The fuel for this race, right in the center, is a bag, a white bag, that is milled corn. So that's another raw food. And most people think of corn as not being a complete protein, I've heard that, or not being an adequate food. Well, their diet, the Tarahumara, have a diet that is 75% corn, milled corn. They dry it, grind it up, put it in this little bag, and they tie it onto their belts, and they travel with it. When they get hungry, they mix a little water with it, and that's their meal. So that is the fuel for a 48-hour marathon. One of the things that, and the reason why you're going to get kind of a little travelogue here, is when you hit 60, 65, 70, and up, the most important thing you can have is your health. Because I'm starting to get up there, and I'm realizing that I'm having an opportunity now to kind of wind up things in my life, to do things that I'd always wanted to do, and one of the things was to go around the world. So one of the articles on my website is Running and Eating Around the World. So last November, I had that opportunity. The first stop was in Russia, but they wouldn't let us off the plane. They had military guards with guns pulled and all we could do was get fuel, and that was it. So I didn't get to run in Russia, but I'd already done the Moscow Marathon, so that wasn't a big problem. I've done the Japan Ironman in Kyoto, or Hikone, which is right outside of Kyoto. But I didn't have a chance while I was there doing the Ironman to do much touring. So here is the temple that I visited, one of the most spectacular temples that I ever have seen in Kyoto. And then we got to Vietnam, and I did have a chance to run there. So I put on my running clothes, went out the door of the hotel, and this is what I saw, all of these motor scooters. This is a two-way street, believe it or not. See that white line? They disregard. Stop signs are merely a suggestion, which nobody takes. They are wild, so I'm thinking, I'm not going to cross any of those streets because they just come careening around the corners and at really fast speed. So I ended up going round and round and round the block, all right turns, right turns. So that was my running experience in Ho Chi Minh City in Vietnam. The next stop was Cambodia. Does anybody recognize what that is? Angkor Wat. 1,100 years old, some of the most spectacular buildings you can ever see. It was discovered after it had been abandoned hundreds of years. And you see the size of the trees. I had so many pictures it was impossible to pick one. I could have done a whole show just on this one place, Angkor Wat. I'd go back again in a minute. It's just an incredible place. Now, the next stop was India in the Taj Mahal. Now, everybody's seen the long shots of the Taj Mahal. Remember Princess Diana sitting there all by herself with the Taj Mahal behind her? Well, I've got that shot, too, but I wanted to show you something different. Look at the fretwork on the marble. I mean, this building is incredibly large, and there are so many different types of marble. The carving is incredible. Just an amazing thing to see. So I wanted a picture of that. The next stop was Kenya, Africa, on a safari. Now, that's the vehicle that we went out on. I could not run in this area because we are the caged. You know, it's the animals that are free, and they come look at us. And we cannot get out. We're not allowed. This is back at the camp at the end of the tour. So I'm in the vehicle where you stand up and you can take all these different pictures. And there's Bernard. Bernard was our tour guide. Do you think he's vegan? Do you think he ought to be? Do you think he listened to me? This is one shot. It's not as clear as I would like it to be. I used the telephoto zoom as much as I could. There are a couple of elephants there, and in the foreground is a lion. And the lion has just made a kill, and you can't really see it. You see it? The lion right there? And again, I have probably 25, 30 pictures that I took that day, just of the wildlife. Giraffes. We were parked looking this way at the elephants, and all of a sudden a giraffe comes along and walks right in front of our vehicle. I'm grabbing my camera, and here his face is like right here. Wow, what an experience. In the article on my website, I tried to list all the animals we saw. Just amazing. I couldn't remember them all. There were so many. Guess who these guys are? The Maasai warriors. We got to visit one of the villages of the Maasai. They charged us $20 because they're raising money for their school. And of course, I thought that was a very worthwhile cause to educate the children. They've got an interesting culture, which I don't have time to go into, but look at these guys, very tall, lean, mean, and their entertainment is jumping. They can really jump high, and just amazing to watch. Next stop was Dubai. Dubai is an incredible country. The ocean is back this away from where I am. The camera, Bob took this picture, and it's pointed to this landscape of building. Dubai is going crazy with buildings, hotels and condominiums, just almost every square inch they're erecting some structures. The hotel where we stayed was a very nice hotel. It was $950 a night. Fortunately, that was part of the tour package, about as luxurious as you could get. It was interesting in that on the bed stand next to the bed, there's a rolled up little rug. And it took me a minute to realize that's a prayer rug. And I looked up, and on the ceiling, there's an arrow pointing to Mecca. Interesting. Next stop was Cairo and the pyramids. And in the vegetarian newsletter, we had an article about this, they had another picture of the Sphinx in front of one of the pyramids. Again, there's just so many photo ops that it was hard to pick them. But this is one of the pyramids. You can see the very top of it where they're having to do some reconstruction to keep the thing from falling apart. Now this is from, has anybody been on a zip line, you know, the canopy tree tour? I know Patrick has. You see the belts and the hooks that they rig you up with, and then the guy is getting hooked onto the zip line, and he's going to go from there a half a mile downhill to the next tree. It's just and you're high above most of the trees. You look down there, and it's just an amazing, incredible experience. This is Prague, the Czech Republic. Now you can see by the clothes I'm wearing that it must be pretty cold. In fact, it was freezing cold. I had gloves and almost all the clothes I brought, and I still was miserable. But couldn't pass up this shot in front of the palace. And it's called the City of Spires because it's just a beautiful, beautiful city in Prague. And the second to the last stop was Iceland, another place that I thought, wow, what an opportunity to see something like this. This is a geyser that goes off about every 5 minutes. So we got a picture of that. And you see, again, all bundled up because it was freezing cold. The very last stop in Iceland, Reykjavik, was the Blue Lagoon. This water is truly blue, this cobalt, beautiful blue, and all around lava rocks, because they have active volcanoes and geysers and waterfalls, and the water is about 98 degrees temperature, very hot and a lot of fun. Now, the last stop was in White Rock, British Columbia, and this was the end of November, almost a year ago. And of course, I had to go out for my daily run. And what a sight, huh? Isn't this the snow on all these trees? And it's just, no matter what the weather, no matter where you are, running is a great way to see the world. Counterthink. This is a cartoon that is, there's more truth to it than humor. Unfortunately, terrorists trying to think, well, we were about to dump toxic chemicals into the food supply, but the food companies beat us to it. Another and the final reason for raw food diets and why we ought to do it. Thank you very much. And I'll take questions if any of you, especially if you have the yeah buts and the reasons why it can't be done or whatever. Yes, go ahead. Okay, her question is about diabetics eating that much sugar in the morning. The thing is, you need to test your blood sugar and make sure that it stays within range. But generally, if you're exercising, the blood sugar's not building up because you're using it up, number one. Number two, if it's a whole food, you're getting enough fiber in there that it kind of mediates the blood flow, I mean the absorption of the sugar into the blood, and it's a moderating effect. So it should work. Dr. Neil Bernard just published a study, Type 2 Diabetics and the Vegan Diet, and it really does work. And I've been doing this for so many years. Back when I was in the workforce, Thank goodness that's over with. And I'd have to be in the office at 7 a.m. The only time I could run was like 5 or 6 in the morning. And I didn't have any breakfast. So I've gotten so used to that that I've found that if I eat, I don't feel like running. I just feel kind of weighted down. Although, if you do something like an Ironman, you do have to eat, but you get hungry then. And it was 8 years ago that we decided to try raw for 30 days, giving up the grains. And I just felt so much better. In fact, the 30 days came and went and didn't even think about it. It was just an automatic response. It was, that's the way we were going to eat. So we've been doing it ever since. It's not that there's anything wrong with grains. It's not that it's a religion with me. It's that I love fruits and vegetables better. Raw, frozen. Yeah, I mentioned the blueberries, buying them by the flat, and freeze a whole bunch of them. Yeah. Buying them frozen is last resort. I prefer fresh, but if you can't get them fresh, then get them frozen. Yes. He's wondering how much of my diet is organic. Oh, I wish I could say 100%. Someday, if we support our organic farmers on this island and start growing more of our own food and bringing in less from the mainland, I think we should all have our own gardens to the extent possible. Support your farmers. Find a little patch of ground and grow, at least grow some herbs, or at the very least do some sprouting. So I try to get as much organic as possible and hoping for more for the future. Okay, you're talking about eating things, mixing things together, fruits and vegetables, food combining. I don't. You know, my breakfast has mangoes and carrots, celery and greens, and my dessert, it follows soon after all the veggies for supper. To me, it doesn't make sense. Now, it might for somebody else, might make a difference, but in my mind, all plant foods are made of carbohydrates, fats, and proteins. And I'm not sure, you know, when it gets down in the stomach, after we've chewed it and mixed it up first with our salivary enzymes, then we've got the digestive juices, and it all gets, you know, mushed up together, and I'm not sure the body would know the difference anyway. So we are today what we will be in 5 years, except for the books we read and the people we meet. And I hope that today, that for some of you at least, I can be the book, Senior Fitness or Race for Life, and hopefully, thank you, the inspiration for you to do better. Thank you.
This program is brought to you by the Vegetarian Society of Hawaii, a nonprofit organization dedicated to sharing with the community the many benefits of a vegetarian diet. Free monthly meetings include vegetarian experts found locally and on the mainland, quick and easy cooking demonstrations, and healthful and delicious food samples. Members enjoy an informative quarterly newsletter, social activities, and discounts at many vegetarian-friendly restaurants and health food stores. For an application, call 944-8344. That's 944-8344. Or visit our website at www.vsh.org. VSH.org.